Expressing
science has not said the last word. Mathematical paradigms are not the culminating conclusion of human knowledge and of human experience. And insofar as we, coming out of a completely quantified world in which human resources are literally statistics and census tables, in which nature reduced to natural resources is quantified in so many barrels of oil, so many tons of iron. In that world, we have projected for ourselves a very limited view of nature itself as being nothing but the quantifiable, and what is not quantifiable is unreal. I submit this to be false. I submit that just as an ecosystem is not simply a flow of energy to be accomplished purely by systems analysis, valuable as many of these mathematical rules may be, I argue that there is in nature itself distinct qualitative differences between species, plants and animals, the organic and the inorganic, humans, and also even between those individuals themselves. There is nothing more revealing for anybody who has a quantitative mentality than to read Roger Williams' work, Biological Individuality. Nothing more compelling to shape your faith in what is the minimum daily requirement you are supposed to have, a vitamin A, B, C, or D, or whatever, or what is regarded as the normative stomach, or the normative pivot, or the exactly correct paradigmatic electrocardiogram, than to read that word and see for yourself the immense variety that exists not only between species, but within a species, within same age groups of the same ethnic background, and even the same social background. One of the most compelling things we are fighting for today is the recognition of that individuality, the recognition of that diversity, not its subsumption, not its reduction into properties that are manageable purely on the basis of an already pre-judged and a pre-accepted philosophical premise. And I would ask you here too to read Burke's Medical and Physical Foundations of Science to see how science itself, which we accept as holy truth in its quantified mathematical form, actually is built around Platonist philosophy and marks a reaction to Aristotle's humanism, and also marks a very distinct bias, meaning that the world is mathematical and what is not mathematical is not of this world. So I wish to make this the premise of a qualitative science. I wish to invoke the rights of intuition. I wish to invoke the insights of what might be called your seventh sense. And demand that they have an authority quite equal to that, and at times even superior to that, of what would be called a purely mathematical character. I stress that I think this world, as one who is deeply concerned with ecology and not just environmentalism, can well be underlined by sympathy. The biggest problem we face right now, if there is to be any nation, mathematical or qualitative, if there is to be any biological fundament for what we call society, at least the soil that will give us food that is qualitatively superior, at least a we are socially renewing is to actually double down on the society itself. The problem is not so much our understanding of nature as it is our understanding of each other. If there is any intrinsic good in the fact that we as conscious creatures of nature
society, that when we imbalance with the natural world, we will
would have to wear a certain definite assumptions. The presence of love that can be no domination, if impeded, cannot correctly control the society in which they live. Cannot take in a single view the conditions of their own social existence. And what I'm presenting here is no more than a Hellenic attitude that we have to think small, think on a human scale so that we can begin to comprehend, understand, grasp all the conditions of life around us. This implies the decentralization of our cities, and it implies the decentralization of our technologies, both with a view toward making it possible for all of us to control and understand how we interact with nature through our technologies, but also that we can control these technologies directly, completely comprehend all their aspects, or as many or enough of their aspects, so that we can form a judgment about them, form an opinion about them, and have something to say about what their destiny will be. It means for us, in addition, more passive systems of technology, which can best be utilized under the centralized process. Solar energy, wind power, methane digesters, and with that, a wall of such sources of energy, organic gardens in our cities, around our cities, and breaking up our cities, not into distant and boring homesteads or hamlets, but real communities where we can get to know each other. Where in terms of the population, where in terms of the very geometry of these cities, it is possible in the old Hellenic sense that you can take a community in a single view without a struggle or a politics. It means also not only these new technologies, a new integration of power and country, of technology and agriculture. Small is beautiful, in Schumacher's words, I would add, small is indispensable to our survival. It would be not only that, it would also mean the elimination of domination as a mode of human operation, as a mode of association, as a mode of interrelating with our fellow human beings. And that elimination of domination is not only a classless society, such as the Marxists would have us fight for, it means even more significantly, domination within the family, the domination of the old young by the old, the domination of women by men, not only the domination of man by man in the factory, office, in the academy, in whatever. It means not only the abolition of exploitation in its economic sense, it means the abolition of domination in its spiritual sense. And with that, we would have to go much back to the fact. We'd have to go much further than Marx would have us, down to the very nuclear basis of society itself, the family, the community, on its most local level. It would mean creating, in a sense, ecological structures. Structures in which there are no kings, and there are no lowlyans, no kingly priests, no lowlyans, no kingly wives, as it means. It would mean a new regard for human individuality, the recognition of distinctions between people, of differences and potentials, which are not hierarchically organized, but which in fact take on the form of a gestalt, in which every what can contribute, what we today would normally regard necessarily to the society. One can go back, for example, to the Winter Indians. Among them, there is no such thing as a village idiot. There is no such thing as a cripple. There is no such thing as a woman. Amongst them, rather, each one has something to really contribute to the society. This is touched in some way by some degree of uniqueness. And insofar as it doesn't upset the harmony of the society, is not ranked pyramidally as above or below, but merely as part of the group as a whole. It's an entirely different sensibility, an entirely different way of thinking. Weakness has its attributes. Strength has other attributes. Intelligence or quickness is mind, may be one attribute. Wisdom may be another. Perhaps may be a third, but none is superior to the other. And from that point of view, the very pyramid ranking with which we organize reality in our everyday experience dissolves into a gestalt, into a harmonious integration of many different features of individuals, so that each pulls into a common form, a unique individuality called the community itself, their own uniqueness as individuals. The problem of biological determinism, of trying to reduce everything in our culture, or most things in our culture, from population to emotions, from family structure to class structure, to genetic material, morphological apparatus of the individual. This reductionism validates the status quo. It accepts the given and fixes it eternally in the genetic material of humanity. The essential achievement of human beings, and ultimately their ascension, destiny as a whole, is their ability to transcend the biological, not with a view toward dominating it, but with a view toward creating new input in it. And that input is consciousness. We, in a sense, have a destiny in the biological world, oddly enough. And this is perhaps the most relevant biological goal that we could aim for in our analysis of society. And that is that having come out of nature, having come out of the kinship systems of plants, having come out of the sexual division of labor, having come out of age groups into a new type of territorialism in which people can associate with each other, not on the basis of blood ties, not on the basis of sexual ties, but above all on the basis of a genuine community of interest and consciousness. This can give us a new freedom, and with that, a free society that can then react upon nature, not to demolish the natural world, not to simplify the natural world, but on the contrary, to reconstruct, to help it develop, to promote variety, to do in 10 years what it might take nature for many years, to recolonize and still further colonize and variegate the world of life. Placing it not in our service, being placing nothing in our service, neither thing nor being, but on the contrary, developing a new mutualistic relationship with each other and with the entire world of life. woman you can reduce biology to society. Both interact with each other. Both have become dimensions of a humanized nature and hopefully in Marx's words, a naturalized humanity. And a new balance has to be struck so that the liberation, the freedom that we can introduce into our own society can be returned to nature, to a mixed and actual world, and thereby create an even more substantial, stable base for a pacifying, a peaceful, a harmonized, natural and social world. Thank you.